customers, and they provide prompt quality service to Manhattan and the surrounding area.
And Kathy Dawes now, along with Cindy Bontrager, and she's Kansas State University Vice President for Administration and Finance. Where do we begin? I know you've got some budget issues you're dealing with right now. I know mid-October you put out a statement explaining, of course, with the drop in enrollment, it's having a $12 million impact on the budget.
Yes, we are progressing through trying to identify where those savings are going to come from. What I'd like to talk a little bit about with you this morning, Kathy, is what we're doing, changing our budget model. We are looking at modernizing. We currently have an incremental budget model, and it doesn't allow us to put our investments strategically where we would like to place them. So we're going to be working with an education advisory board over the next few months, looking at how we can modernized our budget model, so we are placing incentives for enrollment growth, for student success, and for enhanced research productivity. We want to make sure that we are supporting our K-State 2025 and that we are promoting cost-effective practices across our campus. So you'll be hearing more information about this over the next few months, and how it will impact everyone in our university who receives that general use funding, and changing the way that we can, I don't know if react's the correct word, but manage those substantial resources really that we have, and making sure that we're addressing strategically when those fluctuations in enrollment occur, to allow the deans and the department heads the most flexibility.
And there's no doubt those enrollment numbers are pretty crucial when it comes to your budget. I mean, I think we've always kind of known that, but this year became pretty clear.
So with the enrollment, the revenue that we gain from our tuition is over 50% of our general use budget. And to give you some context, we have approximately $900 million in the university budget. Of that, a little less than 50% is general use. So when we talk about changes to the funding and budget reductions, we're really talking about that less than 50%. The other revenue is generated from our grants, our contracts, sales and services, auxiliary from housing and dining, and those revenues are not impacted. So it really is just that 50%, and that is mostly made up of state appropriations and tuition revenue.
And it's such a fluid thing. I don't know how you do it. I do not envy you, as I told you when you walked in the door, because constantly, I mean, you have the state legislature you're dealing with. Some of the numbers don't come clear until a little bit later in the year. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of pieces that you have to kind of put together and try to figure it all out.
What has helped is almost 25 years of experience working in budgeting. That has been my sole, I guess, passion, if you will, in how we can be as creative as we possibly can to assist the department in meeting the needs that they have. So it is a constant struggle. I do think that what we're dealing with is temporary. I do think we'll see some of these enrollments rebound. We're looking at bringing in a consultant with our enrollment management. So you'll be hearing more about that in the next month or so as they hire a consultant to really look at all of our enrollment practices that we have in place, and making sure we are doing best practices.
And of course, in the meantime, and I don't know, are we talking faculty cutbacks, or is it still kind of, I mean, it's probably up to the individual departments how they handle some of that, I would guess.
That is true. The way the allocation has been allocated is to the unit heads. So that would be the deans of the colleges, or vice president, or provost president. Those individuals have discretion as how to they will come up with that funding. Many of them engage their department heads and staff in working through how those reductions will be covered. So right now, this is just, it's one time. We have allocated that out. We will wait and see what happens in the spring with our enrollment, and then we'll have our legislative session coming up. We did receive an additional allocation from the state. They restored part of that 2017 budget reduction in our fiscal year 18 and 19 budget. So it, you know, it's hard to predict. They have a lot on their plate with the legislature dealing with K through 12 funding. So I don't think it's realistic to expect new money, but we are hoping that we at least can maintain what we've received from the state.
Couple of other things, and I know we could spend the whole time on the budget, and we've gone over some of that. I know in the past month we've had several news stories on this, but maybe an update on the smoke-free. I know you've been working some on that and some provisions and different things that you're doing that way.
So we have been looking to move to a smoke-free campus for several years, even when President Schultz was on campus. That kind of got delayed or derailed a little bit when he left, but it's been an issue that has been brought up with President Myers, and he is very supportive of us moving forward. So we have a working group that is looking at how we can promote, what information we can provide to the campus to look at moving smoke-free, perhaps a summer timeline. And they will be looking at what programs Human Capital Service can provide if individuals are interested in cessation-type programs. They'll be looking at just making sure the information is out to our students, faculty, and staff that we will be moving to a smoke-free campus and what impact that may have on them.
And exactly what impact are we? I mean, I know already there's certain areas probably that are smoke-free. Like there, I mean, you would expect that. But
right.
When you say across the campus, what are we talking about really? How much would that change what's happening now?
Well, some of the concerns that we had when we initially rolled this out, we were looking at moving to a tobacco-free campus. We had some concern from our Faculty Senate and our Student Senate of moving that far. So what we've done is right now we're just looking at smoke-free. So we will not be prohibiting like chewing tobacco, those type of things. We know there was a lot of concerns with employees who smoke, and they have breaks that they go out and smoke in. We want to give them opportunity to find a way to still do that by going to their car, for example. So we are not prohibiting smoking in your personal vehicle. So those are ways that we're trying to transition. We know this is going to be one of those culture things that's going to take time. We have international students who are a population who smoke. So we just want to make sure that they're aware as they come in and they understand what they can and cannot do.
I hadn't even thought of the international aspect, but that does make sense. I know one other item, too, in the couple minutes we have left. We've been hearing quite a bit about the academic infrastructure enhancement fee, and maybe just an update on that, too, while we're at it.
So that was a fee that was approved this past June by our legislature and our students' support. We are working to take the revenue that's generated from that fee and invest it back into our classrooms. So our Student Government Association leadership has been meeting with myself and facilities staff in determining how best to get information back from our students, what classrooms are in need, and prioritizing some of those classrooms and getting that work done.
We're already out of time, but kind of hit some of the basics and really appreciate Cindy Bontrager coming in today, Kansas State University Vice President for Administration and Finance. You've been listening to In Focus. Mm-hmm.